This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 747. My name is Alisa Sheps. I am joined by two guest co-hosts today, Justin P. Lopez and Gary Thornsberry, and you are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do every day before Thanksgiving at koop.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah. You can scratch the antique furniture to sharpen up your claws. You can lacerate the cushions if you're ever stuck indoors. You can dig up all the flowers from the freshly planted beds. And with articles of clothing, it's okay to pull some threads.
But it is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2023. On the show today, we have no guests. It's just me and my guest co-host, and we're going to talk about turkey. We're going to talk about show tunes, and we're going to have lively discussions of the world of Broadway in Austin, the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and Lake Tahoe. Stick with us. We're going to play this whole song. We'll be back when the song is over.
Play with you. You can play with your food before you bite it. You can play with
so I would like to welcome to the show Gary Thornsberry, who has been on the show during the pandemic times, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I don't remember what were you talking about? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was some like little independent thing with a group of my friends doing
that's right.
Really experimental.
What was the name of it?
Company was like less than three at the time.
That's right. Yeah. And it became less than three.
Yeah, and it became less than three. And and it was some like super devised experimental.
Right. I remember now. Yeah. And Justin P. Lopez, I know you haven't been on the show before.
I have not.
Because you don't even live here.
I do not.
No, you don't. Where do you live?
I live in San Francisco, but I am here until mid-December. Yeah.
So you're from San Fran by the Bay. In Southern, when they say good day. Anybody know what show that's from?
No clue.
It just closed on the Broadway tour here in Austin last week. Oh. It's from Book of Mormon. Oh. That little piece of song was from Honk, the musical, that I just learned that Gary has done before. Or was aware of it.
Yes, very aware of. It was done the year that I was at that theater camp in upstate New York.
So it opened in 1993 in Great Britain. It had its U.S. debut in Nyack, New York, near where I used to live in 2000 was when it... this must have been after 2000 for you.
It was definitely after 2000.
But it also had performances at North Shore Music Theater. There was a London revival in 2017. There was a UK tour. This is basically Hans Christian Andersen, a musical. I guess you wouldn't say it's a musical adaptation of The Ugly Duckling because there's already a musical, which includes... It includes music from The Ugly Duckling on the movie Hans Christian Andersen with Danny Kaye, which I have to say, have either of you seen that movie?
No.
Okay. It's I loved it growing up, but if you look at it now, it's a little creepy.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy. It's about this man and a young boy that they were. It's creepy.
Mm.
It's a little creepy. Anyway, Honk, music by George Stiles, lyrics by Anthony Drew. Book also by Anthony Drew, based on The Ugly Duckling by Hans Christian Andersen. Andersen, that's me, which is from that movie. So we had an opening on Broadway. Did y'all know that? No.
No.
No. So it was Spamalot. So Spamalot, mm-hmm. this is the revival of Spamalot, yeah. and it did quite well. Well, let's talk about how it did, and then we'll talk about some of the deets about it. In the Did They Like It review aggregator, they had 11 reviews. 8 were positive, 2 were mixed, and 1 was not good.
Okay.
Not good. So if anybody has ever seen, I just lost the name, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
So this is basically that.
Yeah.
It basically follows it pretty faithfully, with the exception of it, the Lady of the Lake has a bigger role.
Okay. Right.
Actually has a role, because in the movie it didn't have a role at all.
That's the one with Sarah Ramirez, right? As Lady of the Lake?
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And she basically, according to Jesse Green of the New York Times, ran away with it, did an amazing job.
Yeah.
I don't know her or her work. Do you?
So Sarah Ramirez is now non-binary, and they were on Grey's Anatomy as Callie.
That's right. Yes. Okay. So I am familiar with her work.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But she goes by Sarah. She pronounces it Sarah, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yes. True. Yeah, I did not make the thing. So it was written by Eric Idle of Monty Python, and I was of an era. So Monty Python Holy Grail came out in 1975.
Yeah.
I'm guessing neither of you were around then.
No,
not quite.
So I saw it contemporaneously. I have the album, actually.
Amazing.
But this stars James Monroe Englehart as King Arthur, and Patsy is Christopher Fitzgerald. I do not know Christopher Fitzgerald. God's voice, the voiceover for God, Steve Martin.
That's
it. And Taron Killam is in it, playing Lancelot. Michael Urey is Robin. Lots of stuff. Ethan Slater. So I'm wrong about Sarah. It's Leslie Rodriguez Kritzer is the Lady of the Lake.
Oh, from the revival.
Were they in the original?
Am I maybe thinking of Something Rotten?
That's maybe. What you're thinking of, I think. I love Something Rotten.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have, yeah. I honestly don't know.
It's a wonderful
which
show.
One I'm thinking of.
Well, Something Rotten, as folks know, is a fantasy about a very funny fantasy around William Shakespeare. But it opened the same year, which is 2016, as a little show called Hamilton. And they did not win Best Musical that year because of Hamilton.
Walking.
Yeah, and they actually did a really pretty big deal, a great marketing campaign about coming in second. Yeah. So Jesse Green really, really liked it and gave it a critic's pick. Other critics, Brittany Samuel, Broadway News, said, in this new staging, director-choreographer Josh Rhodes squeezes every drop of talent out of his all-star cast of comedy heavy hitters. Actors, especially the dexterous Ethan Slater, who pulls off a litany of roles in his track, prance, tumble, and grovel across the St. James stage, hurling their bodies and modulating their voices to pry every laugh from the possible every laugh possible from Eric Idle's book. So they liked
great.
It. Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast said, Spamalot's expertly written and performed silliness is endless, beguiling, and winning. The musical remains a daffy, rollicking night out. And Naveen Kumar of Variety said, Taron Killam, an SNL alum, is a riot, bringing vocal panache to a variety of roles in which he's only visible from the neck up. And I think it was the Wrap that Robert Hoffler of the Wrap who didn't like it. But I would like to say, I don't think I've seen Spamalot.
I actually am now remembering that, yes, Sarah Ramirez was in Spamalot. It must have been a different revival.
The original. There's the original and the revival.
Oh, there's not an earlier one? That's so interesting, because I know that she's on one of the albums for it, or cast recordings.
The album. I don't know that there's multiple albums.
But you said it was 75?
No, 75 was when the movie came out.
Oh, okay.
Spamalot came out about, I want to say 12 years ago, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that was definitely it, the original.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So that's Spamalot. I would like to see it. I'm a big Monty Python fan.
Yeah.
It sounds hilarious.
It does. Yeah. It does. I am a fan. Let's see what else we can talk about. Oh, are y'all, so actually the reason why I chose that song, at the very beginning, not only because it was from Honk, which is fun to say, but it was talking about food, and I'm not sure if you guys know what's happening tomorrow.
I have no idea.
Nope. Yeah, it's all about food. We're going to be eating a lot tomorrow. Something on the news today said that we consume like 3 times our normal calorie intake. But they're worried about Ozempic. The food industry is concerned that because of Ozempic, the people won't be eating as much and spending as much money. Anyway, but the Macy's Parade. Mm-hmm. Do y'all watch the Macy's Parade and see the shows that are coming in there?
I typically do.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Do you know what's happening this year?
I have no clue. I normally just watch it while, like, right before we eat.
Shall I fill you in?
Yes.
Okay. So we have songs from Anne Juliet, How to Dance in Ohio, Shucked, Spamalot, and Josh Gad and Andrew Rannells of Gutenberg will also be there, although they're not doing anything from Gutenberg. Also appearances from Cher, Brandy, David Foster, and Catherine McPhee. And Ashley Park. And also, hold on, where's the other one? So, Anne Juliet, Back to the Future. Did I say Shucked?
Yes.
I said Shucked. Mm-hmm. So nice. I always record the parade and then I fast forward to the Broadway shows. And then I think it's CBS or ABC or NBC, one of those three networks. If Nicole were here, she would tell me. They air, I think they're airing 3 Broadway numbers from 3 shows that they record in their theaters and see it.
Ooh.
So
that's fun.
That's exciting. Have either of you seen any of the shows I mentioned?
I wanted to. I really wanted to see Shucked. I mean, I guess.
You still can.
But yeah. I haven't been able to make it there. Anne Juliet is definitely on my list.
Yep.
So.
I'd love to see Anne Juliet. Yeah. That's Macy's. Speaking of Anne Juliet, this would actually, I had this especially because of Nicole, but she wasn't able to make it today. But they are doing Anne Juliet in Germany.
Ooh.
In German. So this will be the first time that the show has been translated into another language. And it's going to have a German production. It's followed by a multi-year North American tour, which I went to look to see whether they don't show a lot of the dates. There's only like 3 cities that they name. So I'm looking forward to that. They also are in 2024. They're playing 29 cities in the UK. And it's been on Broadway for 1 year. I'm surprised. It doesn't seem that long.
It doesn't seem that long. Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, that's it about that. let's take a little break from talking. And, you know, I had emailed y'all about your favorite musicals. And, Justin, you had said that you liked The Band's Visit. I have not seen it. I know the music.
Gosh.
I saw them. Did you see the original movie that it's based on?
I did. Saw it right after I bought tickets to the show. So I saw it when I bought tickets and then saw the show and was just blown away. Original cast was all in there. So I'd never seen anything like it that had that kind of attention to storytelling. It was just so, so beautiful.
Well, that was my introduction to Katrina Link, who I am just in love with. And of course, she did not. Did you see her in it?
Yes.
And Tony Shalhoub?
Yes.
Yep. And then there's a supporting player. I forgot his name, and he has one. He's that guy that sings that song.
Ariel Stachel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ariel is an alum of American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco.
ACT, we like to call that.
Yeah, yeah. I believe the MFA program.
Did you work
program.
There?
I did, yes.
Oh, lovely.
I worked as part of their Young Conservatory program for... third grade through high school.
Oh, my. My, my, my. Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, that's quite the credential.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to this. I've played this song on the show before, but I just love it. It's Katrina Link playing, singing Welcome to Nowhere. It's one of my favorites from the show. So
great.
Here it is. We'll be right back. And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. And my guests and co-hosts today are Gary Thornsberry and Justin P. Lopez. Changed your name to Gary Thornsby.
I mean, that sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, we're talking during the song about the fact that the band's visit employed a turntable. And you mentioned that you worked on a turntable and you started to tell a nightmare story, but I told you to stop because I
yes.
want to hear it on the air. What show and what was it? What's your nightmare story?
So I worked on the world premiere of Kiss My Aztec by John Leguizamo and Tony Taccone.
Lovely.
And tech was so, so challenging. Instead of a tech week, there was more like a tech month. Where every day was a 10 out of 12 for 30 days. Pretty much we only had 4 days off. And because
10 out of 12 means you work 10 hours out of a 12-hour day.
Yeah. And because it was a turntable, every scene took hours
sure.
to tech out, to make sure the timing was correct, the lights were in the right spot. It's just, imagine doing a normal amount of lights and sound and blocking staging and complicating it by 1,000.
Sure. Yeah, well, there's a lot to do there. People don't really realize. So that turntable, when it turns, you've got to deal with the speed, you've got to deal with the rotation, you've got to deal with the direction of the rotation, and then you put staging on top of that. It just makes things a lot more complicated.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've worked on several shows. Like, when I was assistant at Oregon Shakespeare Festival, we worked on like several shows that had built-in turntables with their automation system, and it was always so fun.
we should say that Gary, you are a scenic designer.
Yes.
And you are currently a professor at a college in Kentucky.
Yes, Berea College.
Berea College.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Justin, you are an actor.
I am an actor and a writer.
And a writer. That's right. I actually looked at your website today and I saw that you were a writer.
Oh, gosh. I hope my website is up to date.
It is, actually.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It is, okay. Because you have the work you're creating. I also have your resume right here.
Oh, my gosh.
I just pointed his resume. Here's for the rest of you to see it. Okay. Yeah, so I should tell everybody who you are. And also, we should say that both of you are working on Jack and Aiden, which is playing at Ground Floor Theater, opening on November 30th. And Justin, you and the other actor, Laura Leo Kelly, will be guests on the show next week.
Yes.
We're going to actually talk about Jack and Aiden, what an amazing, wonderful piece it is. But if people want to get information now, they may visit the website groundfloortheater.org/Jack. And interestingly enough, that's the character you play, Jack.
That is, yeah. Yes.
So that's wonderful. I'm so happy to have you on our Thanksgiving show. And I should say, which I didn't say before, is to thank Kim Simpson for a wonderful International Folk Bazaar. Every year around this time, he features bands from Turkey.
Ooh, wow.
For Turkey Day.
No.
And this was no exception. I also should say, as I always wait for just the right time to say it, that the opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its staff, board of directors, or underwriters. It's just my crazy, crazy opinion. Did either of you watch The Queen's Gambit?
Yes.
No, I'm so bad at watching film. I'm so bad
at it. It's not film, it's TV.
I lump them together.
And it's also a book.
Yeah, and I can't read.
So. Okay, there you go. Well, turning into a musical.
Yes.
Yeah, so it looks like really, really a lot of fun. It's actually, I should say, turned into a musical. I believe it's already played across the pond. Am I wrong? I'm wrong. No, it hasn't. It hasn't played anywhere. Anyway, the book writer is Ebony Booth, and the composer and lyricist is Mitski. Oh. One of those one-word people.
Yes.
The director is Whitney White. I'm not aware of anything, any of those people, but White was the director of Jia Jia's Hair Braiding, which I believe just closed last Sunday on Broadway. So I'm looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to hearing about the staging or seeing the staging. I do remember in the show, there was one scene where the main character looks toward the ceiling and upside down, there's a chessboard that she imagines.
All through the series that happened to her. That's how she did it. And evidently the musical is based more on the book than the series, but it's the same deal. It's the same deal. So it tells the story of Beth Harmon, a scrappy orphan who turns into a once-in-a-generation chess prodigy. As soon as she touches a pawn, her senses grow sharper, her thinking clearer, and for the first time in her life, she feels fully in control. And that actor who played her, don't remember her name, but she was amazing.
Yes, yes.
So I think this will translate pretty good into a musical.
Yeah, I agree.
Gary, what do you think?
Sounds great for somebody who hasn't seen it or read it or interacted with it.
Yeah. So, Gary, you had three favorite musicals.
I did. I'm extra you had, like that.
You had Ragtime.
Yes.
Cabaret. Mm-hmm. And Les Mis? No, Sweeney Todd. You know what? Here's the funny thing. I don't know whether y'all will appreciate this or not, but I get Sweeney Todd and Les Mis mixed up.
Oh.
I know. They couldn't be more different from one another. But I do. So those are your three.
I suppose coming back, you know, the main character in Sweeney Todd coming back from a trial. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So what have you done Ragtime?
I have done all of those.
You've done all of those. Mm-hmm. Okay. What did you love about Ragtime? I mean, it's an amazing piece.
Yeah, it's an amazing piece, and of course it needs like a script update. But, you know, it's it really hit me at a time in my life where I was realizing a lot of things, like is when I did it, about the world. So it was...
So it deals with three families, a Jewish family, a Black family, and an Irish...
A wealthy white family.
Wealthy white family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it talks, and this takes place during the Ragtime era, so around the 1920s or so. Yeah. And it deals with all those different biases and prejudices between those groups of people. And the opening scene, at least for the Broadway, is just amazing.
Oh, it's killer. That choreography is gorgeous.
Do you know the show very well, Justin?
I do know the show very well. I've seen a production of it out in the Bay Area, but I don't know anything about the Broadway, the original Broadway. I haven't even seen any videos.
Yeah.
So I'm eager to look that up on YouTube when we're done with this.
Well, it had somebody who's not really very well known, Audra McDonald.
Oh, yeah. I think I may have heard of Audra.
Yeah,
maybe.
Amongst other people. So let's listen to a short song with Audra McDonald called President.
Ooh.
We'll be right back.
President, I am coming to you on behalf of Coal House Walker.
And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, Gary Thornsberry, and Justin P. Lopez. And that was a very scary Assassins kind of song from Ragtime.
Yeah.
Not Assassins. Yeah. With Audra McDonald. Oh my God, I was going to say Brian Darcy James again, but...
Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Brian Stokes Mitchell played Coal House Walker. So... Other musicals that are coming, and you know, I said I got confused about The Queen's Gambit being in London, but I was mistaken. I had it mistaken with Tammy Faye musical.
Oh.
So there was the Tammy Faye musical.
Oh, yeah.
That starred Andrew Rannells and Katie Braben.
Right.
And it is coming across to transfer here to Broadway in the 2024-2025 season. Rupert Gould will direct it. And it's the music is written by, I don't know this person, Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
And the lyrics are by Jake Shears. And, you know, Elton John has got this and plus, oh, God, the other musical that had a tryout in Chicago and it bombed and they stopped working on it. Oh, the fashion one that had the movie with Meryl Streep.
Oh, The Devil Wears Prada?
The Devil Wears Prada. Wow. He also wrote that.
I didn't know there was a musical of that.
It did not do well in Chicago. It was supposed to, and then they stopped halting on it, and they said they were going to come back to work at it, but Elton John was working on something else, and evidently it's this Tammy Faye thing.
Well, they should have gotten Meryl Streep.
They should have gotten Meryl Streep. She was too busy doing Only Murders in This Building. So there was the Tammy Faye... Jim Baker miniseries that happened a couple of years ago. I know you don't watch television. Did you see it, Justin? So bad.
I did not. I don't actually know much at all about Tammy Faye.
Oh, well, so you didn't grow up in my era. So we knew Tammy Faye and Jim Baker quite well. So it was a riches to rags scenario. Oh. Mm-hmm. He had a big mega church, one of the first mega churches that were out there. And Tammy Faye was his sidekick and wife. And he was...
his psychic?
Sidekick.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was like, this took a turn.
But she was just known for wearing lots of makeup, big, huge eyelashes. Mm. And, of course, the talk like this. But anyway, very flamboyant. He fell from grace, I think because of an affair. I don't remember exactly what it was. And he started crying on TV. Anyway, the series was good. So I'm looking forward to this. And in theory, Andrew Rannells, once Gutenberg, the musical, closes, he can pick that up again. I like Andrew Rannells.
Well, hopefully Tammy Faye is a psychic in this version. I think that'll be really
exciting.
I think
she should be a psychic, not a sidekick. And then the other musical thing I wanted to talk about, this one I liked. Y'all remember the court case with Gwyneth Paltrow?
And yes.
They're making a musical.
No.
Yes.
Wow. What?
Called Gwyneth Goes Skiing.
Oh, my goodness.
They've made a musical. It is going to happen December 13th through the 23rd at the Pleasance London Main House Cabaret.
Oh, my gosh.
It's got music by Leland, who's from RuPaul's Drag Race. Oh, wow. And here's the synopsis. She's the goop-founding, door-sliding, Shakespearean-loving, consciously uncoupling Hollywood superstar. He's a retired optometrist from Utah. In 2016, they went skiing on the slopes of Deer Valley. Their worlds collided, and so did they. Literally. Ouch. 7 years later, in 2023, they went to court. Double ouch. This is their story. Kind of. Not really. But also it's Christmas. So he claimed that she had run into her and damaged her. He initially sued for $3 million. The suit was dismissed, and then he was seeking another $300,000. She countersued for $1 and I believe an apology, and then she won. Mm-hmm. And she was famously known to, as she left the court after she won, she walked over to him and whispered something like, I
hope
wish you
well. I hope they hand out free alkaline water at this.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Part of
not familiar
lifestyle.
With Goop. Oh, yeah. My. I'm ungoopable.
Yeah. Well, me too.
Yeah. But I did like her a lot in Shakespeare in Love.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say. Anyway, so for those of us that want to zip over to London, you and I can do it because it's after Jackanapes closes.
So we that's right.
Plan on going there. But yeah, I love the title, Gwyneth Goes Skiing.
Yeah.
Nothing doesn't do
nothing
anything
on the
for
title,
either,
but
it's so silly.
Okay. So the last thing I want to talk about in this little section is, what do y'all think of Titanic, the musical?
I've done it.
It's a mess. I have also done it.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a concert version of it. I can't imagine how complicated doing an actual production of it is.
Yeah, I saw it when it opened on Broadway. I was not happy with it. Yeah. Although I have to say that do you like it or hate it or middle of the road it?
So when I did it, it was in a small like community theater in West Virginia. And in an old high school gymnasium situation.
Gosh.
So it was a complete mess.
What? Yeah, but I'm not talking about your production. I'm talking about the show itself, the music and the book. How do you feel?
I have a soft spot for the music.
You do?
The book is one thing, and we're going to separate the book from the music for a second. I think the music is lovely. Yeah. The book and the music together, maybe a little less lovely.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about it, but my friend and currently living here in Austin, Dale Sandish, was in the tour, the first national tour. He played the teletype guy. Which I think is the best number in the show.
Yeah.
So that was it. But here's, you can get a look at it. Why are we talking about Titanic? Because it's going to stream on Broadway HD. And this would be it's starting December 15th. And it is, hold on, somewhere it tells you which production. Oh, at the New Victoria Theatre in England this last past summer. Okay. So it's a big show. I mean, lots of peoples.
Yeah. I had stage manager that whenever he would call five, he would say Titanic. And I didn't ask actually what it meant for the first few days. And finally I asked, and it's because Titanic makes him think of Cinco. So five, Cinco.
Oh, God, that is a stretch.
That is a stretch.
It's very much a stretch.
That is a stretch. Oh, yeah. My God. So that's crazy. Do either of you have Broadway HD? You don't watch TV, Gary,
watch
so
TV.
I'm not even talking to you. Bad. Do you have Broadway HD?
I've had it in the past. Yeah. I don't currently have it.
Yeah, me neither. I had it. Yeah. There was something I really, really wanted to see. But it's if you like Broadway musicals, they're constantly changing the things. I know what I saw. They had a live stream. I think it may be the only time that they did it. It was definitely the first time they did it of She Loves Me.
Oh,
so I got a Broadway HD so I could watch the live stream. So I watched the live of it, and it was pretty amazing. And it was the Laura Benanti, and what's his name, the very tall guy. What's his name?
Zachary Levy.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's it. So let's. I think I have a song here from. I thought I did, but I don't see it on my list. I thought I had a song. Oh, I do. We have the Barretts song.
We probably
won't listen to the whole thing because, I said we've been doing a lot of talking, so which is good. I'd rather talk than listen. But let's listen to a little bit of the Barretts song.
She's sparkling clean, this newborn ship, but one old thing is...
All right, we're going to stop that right there and start talking about other stuff. Before we just talk about other stuff in general, I do want to switch gears and talk about what's going on locally here in the great city of Austin, Texas. And the first thing I want to just talk about is, first of all, everything is kind of in a lull right at this very, very moment, just for Thanksgiving, I think. But we've got stuff coming up here, and I'm trying to figure out how I can't. Oh, there it is. The Smartest Girl in the World is a show that's happening at UT.
Right.
And it's directed by Roxanne Schroeder Arce. It's written by Miriam Gonzalez. And here's what it talks about. I think this is a kid's show, which is not saying anything. There's no judgment behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to judge me.
No judgment.
Take your hate elsewhere.
I will.
Here's what it says. They've got a plan. Leo and Lizzie Martinez want to be the smartest kids in the world. The children of hardworking immigrants, Big Brother Leo has convinced his little sis that being smart is the key to helping their family escape a tough, uncertain reality. The first step in the plan, Leo will win a local TV quiz show. But when the parents refuse to let them join the quiz team, Lizzie learns there's something deeper driving Leo.
Ooh.
Do, do, do. And this is being done at the Oscar Brockett Theater at UT. And it plays from the 30th of this month through December 3rd. You can get information at atxtheater.org or what I like to do is Google University of Texas Department of Theater and Dance.
I think they're also doing a tour of it in schools, I want to say.
Do you know this show?
No, I don't, but I looked at ATX Theater.
Oh, good for you.
I was looking for things to watch while I'm in town.
Oh, that's right, because you asked me how to find things, and I suggested that website. Yes. Thank you, ATX Theater. Lisa has your back. Mm-hmm. Other things happening, just a roll call of what's going on. Zach Theater still got the Thin Place through the 26th. Our guest last week, El Cid, Austin Shakespeare, is playing also through the 26th.
I'm seeing that tonight.
Oh, you are? Oh, good. You'll have to tell me how it is.
Yes.
It looks like a lot of fun. Different stages. Miss Lulu Bett is playing through December 9th. They were on our show last week. Coming up, starting on December 5th, which I will be at, the Broadway tour of My Fair Lady is happening. Mm-hmm. Shall we dance? No, that's King and I. I should have danced all night. That's the wrong tune, but the right lyrics.
Beautiful.
There is a Christmas memory from the Alchemy Theater that starts on December 1st through the 16th. Jack and Aiden at Ground Floor Theater. I don't know anything about that one, but it opens on the 30th of November and plays through December 16th. Christmas Carol is currently playing at Zach through the 31st. Murder on the Lynx I thought it had opened. It does not open until the 1st of December, plays through the 30th. And then finally, City Theater is got Christmas Bells also from the 1st through the 17th. So lots of stuff coming up. Not a whole bunch of stuff happening right at this very second. Shall we go on to Today in Theater History?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do it. So today in theater history, we'll start with the birthdays. Scarlett Johansson.
Ooh. Oh.
Yep. Geraldine Page. She was born in 1924. She's a year older than my father. Mm. Richard Kind. Love Richard Kind. And Mark Ruffalo.
Oh.
Those are our birthdays.
Mark Ruffalo and Scarlett Johansson have the same birthday. How interesting.
Yeah, and you've never seen them in the same place at the same time. So.
Oh.
Yeah, figure that out. So also on this date, we had several openings. I got six of them. Man of La Mancha in 1965. Okay. A Man for All Seasons in 1961. Hmm. Laughter on the 23rd Floor in 1993. That's a Neil Simon play. I had to look it up because I couldn't remember. But guess who it starred?
Who?
Neil Simon.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's fun.
Yeah. Funny Face in 1927. The Ghost of Yankee Doodle in 1937, and The Day Before Spring opened in 1945.
Wow.
So so that was Today in Theater History. So the question I'm sure you're asking is, Funny Face opened in 1927. Are there any recognizable songs from Funny Face?
I've never heard of this show.
I don't know. Either. Why don't we listen to this and see if we recognize
it? All right.
Okay.
We'll play a good portion of it.
Don't mind telling you in my humble fashion that you thrill me through.
Let's see what else we want to talk about. Tammy Faye, we've talked about that. Gwyneth. Oh, we were talking about this yesterday. I don't think you were there, Justin, but not yesterday, before Laura Leo and a group of us were talking about Hadestown.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Of which I was so excited to go see and was so disappointed when I went to see it.
Really?
Yeah, I was. I just I still think what I like to say is I need somebody to tell me what the big deal is about it, because the music was okay, wasn't super great. The story is not that great. It's a Greek myth
that
we know. And the production was okay. There were some really good voices, but starting February 9th of, I'm assuming, 2024, Ani DeFranco is going in as Persephone.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Have either of you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the tour.
Did you see the Broadway? The tour.
The tour.
Here in Austin?
No, in like Cincinnati.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you see it on Broadway?
I saw the Broadway original cast. Yep. It wasn't like mind-blowing to me, but I really liked it.
Well, I think so many people, so the road tour didn't have, when they went down to Hadestown on Broadway, as you know, they went down.
Yes.
On the tour, they went upstage through a hole.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little less impressive.
So, from what I understand, that was the main difference in terms of technically and what was in the show. Yeah. But you might say that that's crazy that Ani DeFranco is going in, but she has a history with Hadestown.
Oh.
So Anais
Mitchell,
mm-hmm. who wrote it, did a concept album that Ani DeFranco played Persephone in.
Oh, fun.
And I have a little piece. I have a little piece of it that we can listen to. Just a little second of it if I... maybe I didn't. I don't think I did. I thought I had recorded it, but I did not. I had her doing it, so we couldn't have listened to it. But we're running long on time, so so we don't get to. But I think that's interesting. So she's coming in on the 4th of February.
Great.
We had another opening. Speaking of jukebox musicals, Hell's Kitchen opened at the Public. And this is the a jukebox musical based on Alicia Keys.
Oh, yes. I have a friend in that.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, well, Jesse Green wasn't all that crazy about it.
Oh,
okay. Liked the first act instead of just died in the second act, he says most jukebox musicals do. I take everything Jesse Green says with a grain of salt. Who's your friend, can you say?
Yes, Chad Karstarfin was also in the world premiere of Kiss My Aztec.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, this was written with Alicia Keys and playwright Christopher Diaz, and it's directed by Michael Greif. So, I mean, it's got some real names on it, but it talks about this two kids of it's a family drama about kids doing something with their mother. About they live in Manhattan Plaza. And for those that don't know, Manhattan Plaza is artist subsidized housing in New York City. Which opened in 1978. And I have a little quick story about Manhattan Plaza. You want to hear?
Yes.
So I moved to New York in 77. And Manhattan Plaza, as we said, opened in 78. And my roommate and I, or actually I think it may have opened in 77, because we were looking for a place to live and we put an application into Manhattan Plaza. In the meantime, we found an apartment on 14th Street. And then Manhattan Plaza came back to us and said, we have an apartment for you if you want it. And we said, nah, we're good. Boy, was that a stupid thing. Because Manhattan Plaza was a luxury doormat building, which was subsidized. So we didn't. I know people, a friend of mine moved in the 70s and is still there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now that area, which was Hell's Kitchen at the time, still Hell's Kitchen, but back then it was Hell's Kitchen. It was not it was not a very pleasant place. For those of you that have been to New York and seen theater, that's in the area where Theater Row is, which is now quite nice. But back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was not so nice. But that's my Manhattan Plaza story. And this show basically takes place in Manhattan Plaza. So we've completely run out of time. So we're gonna start thinking about wrapping up here. And saying, you know, What are y'all thankful for? I'm going to say what I'm thankful for. You know, currently, it's all very, very current. I'm thankful to the two of you and the rest of the team that's putting together Jack and Aiden, because this is a piece that we've been working on for 2 years now, and it's it just warms my soul to see what came from a germ of an idea in a little meeting, now a full-fledged musical with a full orchestration and two amazing actors, and the creative and designers are just amazing. So with that, I'm very grateful to y'all. Anything you want to say you're grateful for, Gary?
I'm always grateful for you, Lisa. And of course, friends, family. Sad that I can't be there with them, but I'm very happy for them.
Yes. Well, and my thoughts go out to your family, because I know you're dealing with stuff.
Yes.
What about you, Justin?
I'm thankful to be here in Austin. It's my first time really visiting Austin, and to spend 2 months here has been wonderful.
Yeah. And we're happy to have you here. And I can't find the song that I wanted to play. I think I found it. Because I have not been very organized. Well, it has been a lot of fun. Gary, what other work do you have coming up?
I will be starting on my process for Top Dog Underdog and Eurydice back at Berea College.
Up.
Yeah.
And your function in that is scenic design and other
scenic
things, right?
Scenic design and everything else.
Well, what does that mean, everything else? Are you directing it?
No, I'm not directing or acting in it, but everything else is pretty much on my plate to be advisor of. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I can keep going.
There are no music directors for either of these.
That's true.
So, right. Thank God.
that is true. And what about you, Justin? Of course, we know about... But you've got something special coming up after that, don't you?
I do. So as soon as Jack and Aiden is done, I am joining Equity to do a contract of Forever Plaid.
Oh, lovely.
Which is also a jukebox musical.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, interesting that we talked about it. We talked about Dale Standish, who was in Titanic, toured with Forever Plaid for...
Yes.
Years.
Yes.
Do you know Dale?
No, but I've done the research on the
show.
Oh,
good. Well, so, he's here in town.
Oh, cool.
And he performed in several shows at Ground Floor Theater. He was in Parade, which I believe is the only musical he did for us. But that's good. And look forward to 2025 when we're going to restore and redo Parade. So we are out of time, folks. You need to stand by for the Austin Cooperative Radio Hour. This week we have Lights, Camera, Austin with my very, very dear friend Robert Sims, who's waving, which, as I tell my guests, doesn't really work on the radio, but he did it anyway. So we are going to go out with a new show called, oh gosh, and I just turned the page, called Sueños.
Oh my gosh.
You know about this one?
I also have a friend who was in that. Yeah.
Well, Jim Kerstedt, who we have a connection to, is the producer of this. And as I looked at it today, they just released an album of it. And we're going to play the song Acapulco as we go out. We'll see y'all next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Thank y'all for co-hosting with me.
Thank you. I'm waving as well.
He's waving.
You are very welcome. You are very welcome.
And I would like to note that Gary is not waving.
Yeah. I am not waving.
So have a happy gobble gobble, and we will listen to a little bit of Acapulco from Sueños.
You could bring the whole pinche familia.
Picture us smelling the sea salt ocean, sipping on margaritas.